From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The sea is His, for He made it. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
Shall we join in the prayer of the day, for this the third Sunday after the Pentecost? O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. Feed us with your grace, and grant us the treasure that comes only from you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Gracious God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have promised to receive us when we come to you. We confess that we have sinned against you, thought, word, and deed. We have disobeyed your law. We have not loved you with our neighbors as we should. Forgive us, O God, and grant that we may live and serve you in the newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
God shows His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Our special music, When We Walk With the Lord, is by Paul Schott.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus when we trust and obey. The burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Our lesson from the Old Testament and from the epistles is read by Nancy Lewis.
Our first lesson is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verses 7 through 13. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out, I must shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering. Terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson is found in the sixth chapter of Romans, verses 1b through 11. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. Here ends the second lesson.
The gospel lesson from Matthew 10 and his sermon, The Call to Discipleship, is by our interim minister, Pastor Eugene Ma.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor is a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house of Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, utter in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim upon the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without the Father's will. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be those of his own household. And who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of our Lord. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Discipleship seems to be a big word these weeks in the gospel readings from Matthew. And today is no exception, as we find here a call to discipleship. Paul is reading from Romans, and he sets the stage for this in the gospel. He speaks of our Christian identity in that second reading for today, and he gets us ready for discipleship. Paul spoke previously of all of the love and forgiveness of God, and so he asks a big question for all of us here. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? Are we to do as we wish for God to, as we sing in Amazing Grace, save a wretch like me? Is it like one man suggested, I love to sin. God loves to forgive sin. Really, this world is admirably arranged. Well, by no means, Paul says. This is not what we would call Christian identity. Read those words from that second reading. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We, therefore, are graced with a new life, and we walk with God to seek to go in a new direction. That seems to be the way of our Christian identity. But we know that discipleship can be a challenge. That's not always easy. Consider Jeremiah in that first reading for today. He was a prophet whom we would say was caught in a pickle. I was deceived. I was enticed to speak up for you, O God. But when I did, I became a laughingstock. That's something that none of us really want to be. If I do not speak and have this burning fire inside of me to speak, I cannot hold it in. I have to speak. This is the calling to do. And the friends were waiting for him to do it and to stumble. They were ready to denounce him. But alas, the Lord is with me. And he provides for that inner strength and power that is needed. In the end, they are the ones who will stumble. They are the ones who will be shamed. They are the ones who will not succeed. Well, this then is what discipleship is about. Once we know God's grace, and once we have that love of our Lord, that spirit of gentleness, it remains a burning fire inside of us that cannot remain quiet. Jeremiah concluded, "Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord." And in spite of those who spoke evil of him, there was no desperation here. And he is ready to continue his prophecy. Was it easy? Not necessarily. Did he enjoy what he was called to do? Not always. Did he have doubts? Probably. Was he reluctant at times? I'm sure. But he learned his role and he learned his calling. And sometimes you just have to have a little talk with God and go on. We may even say at times, "Is this what you have in mind for me, God?" Well, okay, that's it. The gospel gives a brief sweeping picture of discipleship. The word that I come up with after Jesus said there could be a lot of people who are against you is fear not. He starts talking about the sparrows here. Sparrows are almost worthless in many people's minds. I remember growing up on the farm and the thing that the sparrows would do is they would always seem to build nests in the tracks for our barn doors. And we could never get them open. Oh, no, there the sparrows have been at it again. That's what we thought about sparrows. Well, they went very cheap here, 2 for a penny, it says. And yet God cared for them. And if God can care for those sparrows, he will care for you, fearful one. Or how about the hairs on your head? How about the hairs on your head? You know, they even counted to him. It's not that... that we fall out of grace when we start to get a little chrome dome on top, that God thinks less of us. He still counts what's left, I think. So don't be afraid. You are of more value than more sparrows, and you are more value than every hair in the head that you have left. See, God provides and he cares no matter what. Life is not always an easy journey. Life is not always a bed of roses, but I am there with you. Do not fear. And those words carry us at times when even fear shows its head in our lives. Think of a child who suddenly comes to the parents and climbs in bed. Why? What's the problem? It's thundering out there, and I'm scared. And you put an arm around him or her and comfort, and soon sleep returns. When I think of fear, I even think back in my own life of going to seminary. I wondered if that's really where I should go. I think the big question was, will I really measure up to all these others who are there at the seminary? I remember 2 weeks before seminary started for me and I was enrolled, that I had traveled through Dubuque, Iowa, where I was to go to school, and I went to a wedding of a roommate of mine, I believe. And I remember driving around that seminary grounds and I said to myself, will I really be back here for school or not? And then the time came for me to pack up the car and get ready to make that 200-mile trip there. I remember my grandfather out there wishing me well. And I drove a mile this way and a mile that way where I came to the main highway and I sat there. And I said, should I go on to school or should I just make a right turn and go back home? I mean, I could run the family farm or I could do something else. Will I really measure up? But I went, and I found that maybe the others were asking the same question I did. We're all the same. And here I am today. And last week I talked about this new congregation in Oklahoma that was started, and I went down there with 4 people and a dog, and that was us. And then in this growing area of town, there were 4 congregations who were starting about the same time, all different denominations. And we as pastors would get together for lunch and we would commensurate with each other. But I didn't really have fear when I went there, you know, will this work or not? But later I had to think, 2 of those 4 congregations suddenly closed the door and said, I don't think we'll keep going. Then I started to think. And fear could have set in and stopped what I was really trying to do with my God. See, sometimes we could also say that we have fear of what might happen if we speak up, but we also may have fear of what might happen if we don't speak up. So we really have to reason with God and say, help me. Because God is not a God of fear, but he is a God who helps us through the fears of life. We do not witness because we fear God, but we witness because we love God and want to share that love with others. To Matthew, discipleship was a high priority. It was ahead of all of the other distractions of life. I mean, there are some ugly words said about, you know, fathers and daughters and mothers and mother-in-laws and all of that. And we said, well, really? Is this what Jesus said? I think he is simply saying, you know, at that time, there were probably going to be some family struggles if you follow me. And then he is also saying, think of what is the bottom line in life and what is most important. And that may be our relationship with God. That it needs to have a higher priority than all of our self. Because our self can be very selfish at times. Higher priority than my own pleasures and comforts. Are they the top priority in my life, or is my God? I found a story by Mark Allen Powell in his book, Loving Jesus. He had a chapter called Sunday Morning, and he relates this story. He says, I remember talking to a Christian rock fan down in Austin, Texas. He was a Jesus freak, just like I used to be and still want to be. And I envied him, and he was just living in the joy of the Lord, reading his Bible every day and praying to Jesus and playing rock music on his stereo. When I asked him about church, he did not write it off, but he did say he had not been able to find a congregation where he felt he fit in. The church where I'm a member, he says, is like something out of the old black and white TV shows. You know, Ozzie and Harriet or Leave It to Beaver or something like that. Everybody dresses up in suits and they play this music that does not seem to sound like anything I listen to on the radio. And the preacher talks about things that have nothing to do with my life. And I don't know, I just find it boring. So he said he did not go. I asked him, why don't you find a different church? But he says, well, I don't know about all of these different denominations, and I don't want to get mixed up in all of these doctrines and stuff. So he just didn't go anywhere. Maybe when I get older, I'll get more out of it, he said, or maybe the church will, you know, lighten up a little bit or something. Well, this time I did give advice. I don't know if it was good advice or not, but I thought about it overnight, and I went back to him. And I said to him, do you love Jesus? Oh, yes, I do. I love him with all my heart. Would you die for him? Yes, I would. You would die for him, but you won't be bored for him? And so I said, this is what I think the Lord wants you to do. I think that Jesus wants you to get out of bed every Sunday morning and go to your Ozzie and Harriet church. And just sit there for 1 hour being bored. Do it for him. Call it bearing the cross, if you like. But just do it. Well, part of the reason that Paul had said this was because as a young pastor, he visited a number of inactive church members. And he summed up their visits this way. He said, everyone was saying in some way, shape, or form, I quit coming to church because I was not getting out of it what I thought I should get out of it. And a little later he asks, where do you get the idea that what happens in church is about us? It is the Lord's day. We go to worship the Lord. And that's where discipleship begins. It begins living our identity as baptized Christians and worshiping our Lord. Then we are ready to take up the cross, whatever it might be, and follow. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
By Pastor Gene and Gladys Mom. As we close our broadcast today, we want to invite you parents and grandparents out there to bring your children to our Bible school. It's in the evening from 6:30 to 8:30, July 17th through 21st. And it's a superhero Bible school. It's for kids age 3 and goes up to those that have completed the 5th grade. It'll prepare your kids to do good, to seek peace, and to go after it. And, of course, you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Sunday school's at 9:30 for all ages. Our worship service is at 10:30.